This is the Giraffes Don't Eat Steak podcast, a show that brings you marketing stories, tips, hints, and much more. A treat for those who want to succeed in business or marketers who just want to learn.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
All good, all good. Still raining here today, but hoping that the sunshine is on its way.
No, I'm the same here too. Cloudy, but I can see a small window of blue sky. Is hoping for some sun soon.
Brilliant.
So,
go for it.
No, you carry on. Go for it. I derailed you.
No, you haven't. I was just thinking, I was having a debate with a client a couple of days ago because they copied and pasted someone else's terms and conditions and just put it on their website.
Well, I hope they changed their name.
Yes, just did a search replace. And I mean, I suppose I should have been happy that at least there was something in place, right? Like, that at least thought it through. But have you had similar experiences with, you know, on the legal? I know we're marketing, but we're so much on the legal side that we need to think about, right?
Yes, I've seen it in many cases. I've also worked with a few businesses where I just quickly checked their terms and conditions, and they've got it just littered with just basic errors. It's forgetting the fact that it's not legally binding or it's correctly mentioning any of the legal requirements. There's things like the address is wrong, they've got the wrong company registered number on there, they've got all the old data handler, what are they called again, the data owner or something, I can't remember what it is, the person that the, do you know what I mean,
the data controller,
that's the word I'm looking for. They've got old information on the data controller, they've got old email, like it's just littered with instant errors that you can see, let alone, I mean, I don't have a legal background, but I'm sure if there's those basic areas, it's going to be horrible from a legal perspective. And I've found, to be honest, like B2B business is the most careless because
yeah, I think so.
Doesn't apply at all. Not at all. But it does. And there's GDPR considerations for internally as well. So people are just thinking that, oh, for my customer. No, it's not. It's for your employees as well.
Absolutely. In fact, even with B2B, there's still a person, right? There's still a person there that you need to take care of. Sorry.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of
my dogs are busy shopping around my feet. So...
That's a really good point. I think businesses, B2B businesses, just depersonalize it and think, no, I'm working with a business. No, you're not. You're working with a person. You're working with multiple people, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, when both, neither of us have a legal background, unless you went and got one while I wasn't looking. But it's just the basics, right, of permission. Do we have permission to contact this person? You know, we can't just take, oh, these are a list of my friends, let's start mailing them. You know, it's not the right thing to do. And I often say to my clients, think about how you would feel if that was you. If that was you on the other end, getting, you know, your friend Alex has decided to sell soap and suddenly starts sending you all these soap emails, you'll be a bit annoyed by it, right? So it's exactly the same.
No, exactly. But everybody is, I mean, there's a lot of people who are guilty of making mistakes, especially since GDPR came in. Who do you think is the biggest, what is the biggest culprit? Who's being fined the most?
I don't actually know. I mean,
I've got the answer.
Oh, you've got the answer. Okay,
Yeah.
you tell me who's being fined the most.
So you'd probably think that this company, of all companies, should be on it, really, really on it. Hello.
For those listening, I've had to pull my dog onto my lap because she is just being irritating.
So the biggest fine came in 2019. This company was fined by a French regulator who ruled that the company had failed to make its consumer data processing statements easily accessible to its users. The company that was fined was Google.
Oh, wow.
They were
That's
fined
insane.
50 million euros,
That's a
which
lot for them.
is, I know, is a drop in the ocean, but still, 50 million euros. It's a hefty amount, and yeah, I mean the biggest companies out there are doing it, and so the top three here, Google, H&M was because H&M was found that they had been secretly monitoring hundreds of its employees.
Out.
Yeah, and British Airways is up there, and a telecom company in Italy, and Marriott Hotels.
But don't you find that's the exact reason why small business owners feel like they don't need to worry about it,
Yeah.
right? Because they're like, oh, I'm small fry, it won't happen to me, I don't need to think about it. And that's I find that's difficult, is to say, well, okay, yes, it's like insurance. You're absolutely right. You don't need to listen, but it could happen to you, right?
Yeah.
And that's why my tact is rather than the legal and fine side, it's the right thing to do. It's to think about, the reason the regulation is there is because we need to treat people fairly in a way that, they're happy with the way we communicate with them.
Yeah. I came across a case the other day which actually had me shocked because we were looking at some marketing, setting up some marketing email. And obviously the question was, what's your database like? Oh, yeah, no, our database is amazing. We've got, I think, about 3,000 people. Okay, cool. Where did you get it from? Oh, just one of my friend's companies. He just gave me the
Yeah.
database. What? Dude,
Crazy.
what? And look, that is going to be happening everywhere, and that is crazy. Oh, I'll just give you, I've got a list of people you can contact.
Or worse, people move from one company to the next and take it with them, right? Like,
Yeah.
ugh, that's so hard. And
Yeah,
I
that
mean,
is true.
GDPR is one, your mailing list. Do you have the right permission? Are you, and think through your process. Where is the right time to capture that permission, right? Where do you ask for it? Because as we found when GDPR was implemented and we had that massive project, if you remember, for months and months and months beforehand, try to get everyone's permission before the cutoff date. Because once they are gone, once they are no longer a customer, and the legitimate interest of contacting them has passed, you're finished. There's nothing. I got asked the other day about, oh, can we go back to lapsed clients? Sure, if you've got the marketing permission.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you can't actually talk. You have no legitimate interest to talk to them. You can't go back to them. And I've worked, particularly with insurers, on projects where we've tried to find ways around it. Like, what legitimate reason do I have to talk to them? And the answer is none. You
Yeah.
have none. They are no longer a client. They've left you. You needed to get that yes before they left you.
And the only way you can get them back is by going fishing again in your lead generation.
Back through the acquisition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, the importance of getting that at the right point, even when they're leaving, if you haven't done it before then, although I think that's pretty late in the day, but to say, would you mind if we kept in touch with you? You may get 1% saying yes, but at least that's better
Yeah.
than zero. Better strategy is upfront when they're happy, straight after they've purchased. That's like a best place for people to say yes.
Yeah.
Or throughout the journey, do regular campaigns trying to convert those who haven't said yes to say yes with special offers or, subscribe to our newsletter, something to get them to say yes so that
Yeah.
if they do leave you, you haven't lost that opportunity.
Yeah. And I think, as marketing, the blame could well come your way if you're not careful with the data that you're using, or how you're using the data. So personally, I think it is absolutely worth it to even just get a simple health check from someone who specializes in that area, a lawyer, because the amount that you'll pay for that, it is dwarfed by the amount of problems you could have later down the line from either a fine or complaints from customers, because they could be even worse than a fine. A fine, you may be able to pay it, but once you start having customers who are saying that you're using their data incorrectly and then start talking about it on social media and creating bad reputation, that is almost a quicker death to your company and to your reputation than a fine is.
Especially if they start publishing it in Trustpilot or Google reviews or in the public forums
Exactly.
that people do check to see how how your company operates. Absolutely. I agree. And it doesn't have to cost thousands and thousands of pounds. You can
No.
literally get somebody competent and to just do a quick review. And the same applies. The terms and conditions are twofold, right? We started with terms and conditions, but there's your website terms and conditions, which is just simply what are the rules of the game on your website? But then your product terms and conditions, which are after purchase. And people sometimes merge the two, I find. And then they just have one, but they're actually very, very specific things. Your website terms and
They are
conditions
very different.
are about tracking, about analytics, about cookie policies and all that kind of stuff. Yes, you should have a separate privacy policy, different conversation. But you're putting more about by visiting my website, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're agreeing to, versus purchasing the product is about or service. You need different terms and conditions, payment terms. When will you cancel? When can you cancel? What about when I want to cancel? Do you do refunds? Do you not? There's so much that has to go into the terms of doing business, which are separate from the terms of visiting the
Absolutely.
website.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think for me, the key advice would be to invest in a data processing health check. Like you said, it doesn't need to be, you don't need to go and get one of the world's most expensive lawyers. No. You can find someone who knows what they're talking about, who can do a quick it's like a website audit. Like how we're doing an SEO audit, how it's a similar service, but just from a legal point of view. You take that advice on board, see where the red flags are, and action them. You don't need to pay someone to action them, so you can do that yourself, as well to help limit the cost, and then and create your own guidelines. For other employees that are coming in, or someone that may be working with you from a marketing point of view, from other teams, and from the sales team in particular as well, because they'll obviously be a lot of the data.
And a last tip, we did this before, which worked so cleverly. I'm going to give this to everyone. Keep a little spreadsheet of every place where addresses are mentioned, where company numbers are mentioned, VAT numbers. So all those things that could possibly change. Keep a spreadsheet of where they are in your documentation and in your website. Because if you ever need to change it, so if you move offices, for example, and that address needs to change, if you haven't kept that register, it's going to take you or somebody else hours and hours and hours of trawling to go and find all the places it's mentioned. And guess what? You will miss some. It's a guarantee. So
Definitely.
if you remember when we did a first name change, we implemented that document. And then when we had to do the second one, it was a breeze, right? It was like, oh, we know exactly where the phone numbers are, where the email addresses are, anything that is changeable. Keep that
Exactly.
logged.
That's a great piece of advice, and that even goes across changing the subject slightly, but it's still a legal conversation. Any creative that you develop, keep an archive of that. Remember when we had a investigation into some of the language that was used, and we had a whole list of archive creative, and it was just very, very helpful because you don't realize how much creative you develop because you just one day you just do, oh, let's do this on social media, blah, blah, blah. And you forget that you created that. And you will never remember at all that you did that. And then, but there'll be one person who's seen it and one person who's kept it in the public. And they said, this is where you did this. And you could say to the investigator, no, we've never said this, blah, blah, blah. But there'll be one person who's holding on to it. So it's very, very important to keep those archives. And that's a really good point.
Absolutely. Little bit of PT up front, but so worth it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Awesome. Well, it feels like, Alex, this is a good time. We should invite one of our legal friends onto the podcast next just to talk through
Sounds
some of the
good.
nitty-gritty. So listen out for that, and I will line up somebody to come and chat to us a bit more in depth about marketing and legal.
Looking forward to it.
Well, you have a great weekend, Alex, and I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up this episode of Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found value in our discussion and got some new ideas to apply to your own business. Tune in next week for another round of marketing insights and inspiration. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next time on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak.